Welcome back to the Turley Frequency with host Kevin Turley. The phone lines are open, so call now at 888-928-0881. That's 888-928-0881. And share with us your thoughts and prayer intentions as we navigate this complicated world together. And now, your host of the Turley Frequency, Kevin Turley.
Yes, welcome back to Turley Frequency here live and exclusive on Archangel Radio. I hope you enjoyed that very interesting discussion with David J. Halperin, author and academic. Not so much looking to the heavens now. We're looking to heaven and we're looking to God. We're looking to the divine mercy. It's all very well, all this talk of UFOs, but we are very grounded on this show and we are very much looking for solutions to the difficulties that confront us. And we're better to turn than to our Lord. He asks us to trust him. And that's what we are precisely going to do in the next 30 minutes. It seems everywhere I look and everything I listen to, whether it's podcasts or whether it's a sermon at Mass yesterday, everybody is talking about trusting God. That seems to be the key to unlock God's plan and his bounty in our lives. It's trusting in God. And what the next 30 minutes is all about is you and me on this radio show trusting in God. Trusting in God to provide. To provide for you whatever it is that you need at this time. Providing for your family, your loved ones, for your enemies. Providing for everyone, whatever it is. And all God wants us to do is to trust him. And every day I trust Reed to come up with a prayer warrior. Reed, do we have one today?
We sure do, Kevin. On the line with us is Dr. Amal.
Dr. Amal Marogi, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Thank you, Kevin. I'm delighted to be back.
Now, which part Thank of you. The great European continent are you in today?
Well, I'm in Cambridge, and you won't believe it that I'm in the Central Library. Because I had a meeting and I couldn't make it home.
Is this Cambridge, Massachusetts or Cambridge, England?
No, it's the real Cambridge.
You're not allowed to say that, Amal. Cambridge, England. So that's great. So Amal is at one of the great historic university towns of the British Isles, Cambridge, where Amal is very much held in high esteem by everybody there. And she joins us today. And we've had some lovely contacts with some of the people that you've introduced us to. I was thinking of your friend Louise, who's sailing at the moment. She was sailing down the Suez Canal the last time we talked to her. Have you heard from her recently?
Yes, yesterday actually.
And where is she
very
now?
Grateful for all the prayers. She is somewhere, the Red Sea. Sailing somewhere near the Red Sea. So I'm not sure.
I can't quite get my head around that sort of lifestyle. Can you? Where you'd be at sea for like 6 months or something?
I mean, they have to enjoy it. I don't know. Some people really enjoy it. So I can't imagine my life, but I think that's.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be a bit like being in a monastery or something at sea for 6 months. Do you know what I mean? There's nobody there but your fellow sailors and the sea, and that's it, right? For months on end, there's nobody else.
Yeah, but it's full of adventures. It is. That's what it is. We don't know. We can't imagine it. But even people in the monastery. I mean, for us, it sounds like something boring. They have nothing to do, but I'm sure that they have so much to do, and that's why they stay for so long and they live so long as well. I think that if you have someone who has been there for 50 or 60 years, it can be so bad and live so well, and for so long. So I think that we miss something. We don't know what they are enjoying, but it's not up for us,
That's true. You're absolutely right. And that's true of so many vocations, I guess, where people from the outside sometimes can't see the great adventure. And I think that's a lovely word. It's a beautiful word, the adventure of each person's divine vocation, which is drawing us closer to Christ. What to other people may appear mundane or boring or even extraordinary in different ways is actually God's plan for that person. So, yes, you're absolutely right. Well, hopefully she's listening now to our good friend, Dr. Amal, who's going to be praying with us this Divine Mercy Chaplet. And as always, Amal, I know you will have brought many, many intentions and many, many people to pray for.
Yes, yes. Good. And thank you for all the prayers. You know, like I've tried to listen to the show whenever I could. And, you know, I'm very grateful for all the prayers that you, you know, you sent the way of my, you know, like towards the intentions that I was saying, you know, I asked you to pray for. So that I'm very grateful for that.
That's why we're here, Amal. We're here to pray for people. So when people text in their requests, we are very, very happy to pray for them. And do let your friends and family know that they are prayed for on this show and prayed for by the Archangel Radio Prayer Family, which meets every day at 9 a.m. Central and prays the Divine Mercy Chaplet together.
It's great to have found, you know, like a powerhouse of prayer, you know, like, I mean, it's just amazing.
Well, I wish it was even more of a powerhouse. I wish our phone lines were rung off from 8 a.m. with people trying to get in early. Mm. I don't know what it's like on the continent, but here in the UK, it's very, very difficult to get a hold of a doctor, to get a GP appointment. And the appointment lines open at 8 a.m. and everybody's phoning at 1 minute to 8 a.m. And there's like thousands and thousands of people trying to get to the doctors. And I would like it that people were thousands and thousands were trying to get on the show and get their requests in, because this is a very powerful prayer. I don't need to say that to you, Amal, but it's something which, why not? Why wouldn't you want to be prayed for? You never know. The Lord may just hear your prayers and our prayers and answer them. So with that in mind, shall we begin?
Let's start.
Okay. Now you're in a public place. Are you okay praying there? I mean, they're not going to haul you out.
Sure.
They're not going to haul you out for hate crime or something.
I asked for permission.
So are you in a quiet part of the library, or are you in a public bit? Where are you, so I can picture it?
I'm sort of public, private, you know. So I'm seeing a lot of people walking around, and it is the place where you can speak. You know, there are the ground floor and the first floor you can speak, but not the second and third floor. So, you know, like I'm fine.
Well, you never know. Somebody might come along and say, "What's that you're doing?" And they might join in. They might have a couple of intentions. So that's okay.
It means
we
have to pray for that person. You know, it's as simple as that.
Amen. Okay, let's begin then. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. Then we say together, Amal, O blood and water,
which
gushed forth from the heart of Jesus, as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus, as a fount of mercy
for us,
I trust in you. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus, as a fount of mercy for us, I trust in you. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and on the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. Just before we go on, Amal, can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you perfectly. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you fine. It's lovely to be in Cambridgeshire with you. Okay, so this first decade, Amal, is for your intentions. You will have other decades, so we don't have to pile them on to this one, but who or what would you like us to pray for in this first decade?
So today is my nephew's birthday, Oliver. He's 16 now. I'm missing his birthday because I'm here in Cambridge, but I would like to pray for him and for his mom and dad and sister, and for all the 16 years old who are listening, or, you know, like, I mean, maybe there are listeners who have children who are 16. So I'd love to pray for them so that God may fill their hearts and minds and protect them, really, especially protect them.
Well, I think that's a wonderful prayer, and it's a beautiful prayer for Oliver today on his 16th birthday. But I think you're absolutely right. I think teenage boys today in particular have temptations and all sorts of things, which when I was 16 weren't even invented. So it's a difficult mm-hmm. time for young men in particular to grow into manhood. So mm-hmm. let's offer this decade for him, but also let's commend him to St. Joseph, that St. Joseph will make a man of him in a sense. At this time, because St. Joseph
especially in Belgium, where they are really trying to undermine the faith of all the young people. You know, like, I mean, it's just amazing. He has RE classes, and yeah, I can't describe them. You know, like, it's just, I pray for that God may forgive these people, but you know, just to pray for that God may protect the faith of all these children and teenagers.
Amen. So, okay, well, let's place mm-hmm. Oliver in the divine mercy. Let's pray for all the 16-year-olds. Thank I know you. A lot of mothers and fathers as well. Contact this show and ask for prayers for their teenage children. So if you've got somebody who's 16 years old, we are especially praying for them. But Oliver is top of the list. And a very happy birthday to you, Oliver, if you're listening to this as a podcast or on Encore. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
Atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
On us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, Amal. That's us up and running. Now, listen, if you want us, Amal and me, to pray for you, we'd be very happy to do so. You can do so in two ways. You can call the show on 888-928-0881. Call in and tell us who and what it is you need us to pray for. Or you can text the show on 251-928-2111, and I'd be very happy to pray for your requests.
Kevin, so we actually have a caller right now.
Are you sure it's the right number, Reed?
I believe so. It's Miss Julie Jackson.
Julie Jackson, good afternoon, or good morning to you.
Good morning, Kevin.
How are you doing, Julie?
I'm doing well, thank you. I'd like to ask for continued prayers for my friend, Louise, who had major surgery on Holy Thursday and was in the hospital for over 2 weeks. She was discharged on Friday, and she still has some health issues that really need resolving. And she's at the physician's office right now. And so I would really like to reach out and ask everyone to keep her in our prayers.
Well, you've come to the right place, Julie, because we are going to do that straight away. We're going to lift Louise up now. Amal, myself, you, Reed, everybody who's praying this, we're going to pray for Louise. We're going to pray for the doctors who are looking after her at this time. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit to come upon that situation, and that Louise will get whatever hospital or medical need that she desires at this time, that she will get the right treatment, the right diagnosis, whatever it is, so that she can once again return to the joy of a normal life. So, Julie, will you tell Louise that we prayed for her?
I certainly will. I certainly will. Thank you, Kevin.
And Louise, if Louise needs any more prayers, we're very happy to do so. She just has to either contact the show or you contact us. And Julie, I'd like to include your intentions as well. I know you haven't asked for anything, but we also pray for you and everybody in the Jackson family. You do a wonderful job in witnessing to your faith collectively.
Okay. Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you, Julie. Okay, let's pray for Louise, Amal. Now, let's really ask the Lord.
Please.
To help her in this situation. You and I know how difficult it can be sometimes dealing with medical people, trying to get them to understand our needs. There's so many people who have needs, we know. So let's really storm heaven now for Louise, who's with the doctors as we speak. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
And atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you, Amal. And Louise, if you're listening to this on playback, we are praying for you and hoping that it all goes well. And thank you, Julie, for calling in. And listen, if you've got a prayer intention, something that's just crossed your mind, or somebody that's just come across your path that needs prayer, then give us a ring, 888-928-0881. You heard Julie. You just phone up and we'll pray straight away for them. It's that simple. Now, talking of simple, we've had a text in, Amal, and it's a rather, it's a two-pronged one. It's from a listener. First of all, they're asking for prayers for their niece who made their first Holy Communion, and the niece's name is Claire, and we'd be delighted to pray for Claire, who's just made her first Holy Communion. Can you remember making your first Holy Communion, Amal?
I remember it very well. It was one of the best days, yes.
Yeah, I vaguely remember it, you know, but I'm maybe a lot older than you. I vaguely, very vaguely remember it, very vaguely. In fact, I remember a party afterwards more than I remember the actual occasion. So that's the very nice one.
I still have a present that I got for my first communion. I still have it.
Well, may I ask what it is?
I still have even the gloves and everything. So, you know, like, I know it was a very, very special day. Yeah.
Well, as long as you don't fit into the same dress, then I'd be worried. I mean,
No, I don't think so. The dress is gone already.
So that's the first part of this. So we celebrate with Claire the wonderful First Holy Communion, and we ask that that First Holy Communion be the first of many, and that it will lead Claire to holiness and to becoming ever closer to our Blessed Lord. But there's another intention which has come through, which is from the same person. I'm going to leave the person's name out that they're asked to pray for, but this person is under attack at the moment. They're a journalist. They've written a number of articles about Satanism, and attacking the pretense that Satanism is a belief system. And that man and his family are now receiving various threats. Let's pray for that man who's trying to witness to the truth and trying to be shut down by evil forces. Let's ask the divine mercy to protect him at this time, to protect him and his family. And
St. Michael. Yeah.
St. Michael the Archangel. Let's ask that. And also the Guardian Angels. And also our good friend St. Joseph, Terror of Demons.
Yeah. Exactly.
They'll run away if he comes near. So we commend this anonymous journalist to the care of all those great intercessors, but above all, to the divine mercy at this time. And we celebrate Claire's ever growing closer to our Lord through the First Holy Communion.
Yeah.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
Atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you so much, Amal. Now, the fourth intention is a little bit unusual. Last week, we had a guest, Sarah Perla, who was on the show. And Sarah was talking to us, Amal, about the difficulties of being a woman in her 40s trying to date. She was trying to find a Catholic spouse. And the man that she was dating, it just wasn't happening. And she was explaining to me the difficulties for a woman searching for that vocation. With all the online stuff and how complicated it was today and the Me Too movement and the scourge of pornography and how that has affected everything. So I'd asked her if she'd been praying to St. Joseph and she said she had. So I said, well, we'll pray for you on the Divine Mercy Chaplet as well. We'll kind of adopt Sarah and pray for her that if it's God's will, that she find her spouse and find a good Catholic man and have many, many children, as many as the Lord will allow, and bring many souls into the world, and through her witness also witness to the joys of the marriage state as a holy vocation. So if you would join me now, Amal, praying for Sarah and her vocation. And
definitely.
And also that St. Joseph will take her in hand and look after her.
Yeah, definitely.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
Atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you, Amal. So, believe it or not, Amal, we've come to the end. Can you believe it's raced past?
It's amazing, before
we know it. So, listen, this final decade is all yours. Who or what would you like us to pray for?
Well, first I would like to pray for my university. I still love this university, and I spend my best years here. So, I'd love to pray for everyone who's working in the University of Cambridge, and for the city as well. And for the students, for every single student. Students are very close to my heart, and I know how much they struggle and the pressure that they are under. not only academically, but, you know, all other sorts of pressures they have from their parents, from society, and from what is going on around them. So I'd love to pray especially for the students in this university and all over really the world. I think that university students are under immense pressure just to be faithful and to be who they are. So, you know, like, I'd love to pray for them all.
Amen. I think that's a beautiful prayer, Mal, and I think we'll pray for all of them. We'll pray for Cambridge University, everybody in Cambridge town, everybody who lives and works and has any doings with the university, and all the students, all the souls, also the chaplaincy there, and all the souls that go through there. It's a difficult time for a lot of people, a time of change. But we'll also pray for you as well, Amal, in your particular vocation, which is working with young people in general. We pray for the witness that you give, and give thanks for that. And pray also for St. Joseph to look after you and keep you protected in all your travels, especially living in Belgium.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, let's pray this last decade together. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And then we conclude together, Amal. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal
One,
have mercy on us and on the whole
world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy
Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty, Holy
Immortal One,
have mercy on us.
And on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. And then we finish together. Oh my Jesus,
I trust in you.
Oh my Jesus,
I trust in you.
Oh my Jesus,
I trust in you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Amal, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day to come and pray with me here for everybody on Archangel Radio.
Thank you. Thank you. And I really prayed for you. You know, like, I forgot to say that yesterday I visited the Tyburn Convent, which I love very much. And I prayed especially for you. I mean, for your show, for everyone who's working on this show, and for radio, Archangel as well. So you were prayed for yesterday as well.
Well, that's wonderful. That's very kind of you, Amal. And listen, you have an open invitation to come back anytime as a prayer partner, or to phone in as you do as well and help us out. Sometimes when guests are going off the reservation, Dr. Amal steps in and shepherds us all back on to the right pastures. And we're really, really grateful.
Anytime.
Any prayers you say for this show, you're very much part of this show as far as I'm concerned, Dr. Amal. And
Thank you.
Give our very, very best to your good friend Louise out in the Red Sea. Now, if she ever wants to phone in from the ship, that would be fantastic. We would love that.
She wanted actually to join just also to say thank you to everyone, but she wasn't sure that she will have, you know, good connection, you know, because she just didn't want to take the risk, that's why. But I mean, she listens and she's very, very grateful, and really she told me that your prayer are very much needed. So, you know, I mean, she feels your prayer, so that is
Well, I'm sure there's a few
it's
other
very
people
much appreciated.
On board the ship that could do with a few prayers. I know a lot of sailors these days are Filipinos. They're all Catholics out there in the middle of the ocean. So let's keep them in mind. We've adopted various people along the way. I'd like us to adopt Lewis and her ship, and that'll be safe, and it'll be a holy ship. It'll be the bark of Peter cursing through the Red Sea.
Exactly.
Wonderful.
Exactly. All right.
Well, have a wonderful day, Amal, and thank you for your support for this show. I just had a message from Michelle, our executive producer, saying a big thank you to Amal. I agree with her. Big thank you, Amal.
Pleasure. Anytime.
Okay.
Thank you really for the great job that you are doing. I mean, this is amazing. As I say, it's an amazing powerhouse of prayer. So, just keep going. We need it very much.
Oh, we'll keep going. Don't you worry about that. Thank you, Amal. Now, when we come back, I'm going to be going to the story of Mother Cabrini. Yes, Francis Xavier Cabrini, Saint Francis Xavier Cabrini. We'll be looking at her life in story time right after these words. Stay tuned to the Turley Frequency. Hello and welcome back to the Turley Frequency, here coming to you live and exclusive from London to Archangel Radio, and then blasted out across Lower Alabama and everywhere else via the Archangel mobile app, which I'm sure you've downloaded and used frequently. I do. Seems to work okay for me. But let's find out what's going on in the control room, in the engine room of this great radio station. Let's talk to Mike and Reed. Mike and Reed, have you any views on crushing cans of beer, is the first thought.
I crushed many in college.
Yes, a lot of beers have been crushed.
That was because of copyright issues again, was it?
Of course. It's funny, every once in a while I'll talk with my old roommate from college, and we'll of course rehash the old Coors, tower of beers that we had in our kitchen. So,
what about dating tips? Any ideas of you heard Sarah last week? Any thoughts? Further thoughts on that? Any advice? I mean, Mike, you're a married man. I mean, it's obviously worked out for you. So, what tips would you give to the younger generation?
Just be yourself. I mean, I know that's guys feel like they have to put on something and impress a woman, but just being yourself is really the best way.
You think that's enough, do you?
Well, if it's not enough for the opposite sex, if it's not enough for the other woman, then move on.
It's funny, because we had David J. Halperin on, and he was talking. His book is a lot about his growing up, and he was talking about UFOs and his interest, his teenage interest in UFOs. And he said it was a lot less frightening than trying to ask a member of the opposite sex out on a date. And he painted a picture of a teenage boy going up to somebody in a school. I mean, my school was all boys, so it was obviously not the case. But he went up to somebody in the school, a girl, and he would ask her out. And she would look him up and down and then say, "Go on a date with you?" And "you" was in capitals, and everybody would hear this and it would be complete humiliation. And I suppose, certainly I've forgotten just how difficult it is prior to the internet, never mind the difficulties they have with the internet, of just having to overcome one's initial bashfulness about approaching the opposite sex. You have to have nerves of steel looking back on it, Mike. I'm sure it's not difficult for you, though, Reed. I'm sure you find
Reed's
it very
natural.
Easy to talk to people. Working on a talk show, it should do.
I certainly find it easy to talk to people. I don't know. For some reason, there's a huge difference between it's similar to going on stage when you ask someone out. You are exposing your true feelings, and you're making yourself vulnerable for a short time in the hopes that there's a lot to be gained from it, and sometimes it doesn't work out.
So it really is like doing this show.
Yes.
Trial and error.
it really doesn't work out most of the time. But I think that's a good description, actually, Reed. I mean, of course, there's an element of vulnerability, but nothing ventured, nothing gained, surely.
Yes. I mean, that's how everything in life is. You know, we aren't designed to sit in a box and not do anything. We're tough. We're resilient, and that's the reason why, so that we can venture.
I mean, not taking a risk is the biggest risk. You know, the biggest, it can be the biggest regret.
That's right. That's absolutely right. Talk to me about that, Mike, in terms of your theater work. Was there ever a time, and you may not wish to admit this publicly, though we'll record it and put it out as a podcast sure. if you do, but was there ever a time when you ducked out of an occasion of going on stage, which you now regret?
Was there ever a time that I ducked out and not gone on stage? I can't say that I have, to be honest with you. But I guess I just enjoy.
I feel like you have the performer's mindset to where, you know, it's going to be a show. We're going to do our best. We'll provide these people with what we can. And then, you know, whatever happens, happens.
You know, as I've gone on, I think later in my career on stage, I became less afraid to fall on my behind, so to speak. I went out and I made a choice and let the chips fall where they were. And again, it goes back to the biggest risk you can take is not taking a risk at all. And I just tell, and that goes for not just actors, for people in general. You only got this one life to live. do it up, you know.
Well, that's so true. They often say it's not a dress rehearsal, it's life.
No,
you got to get
is.
Out there and live it, and you've only got one life to live. I think I learned that lesson very late in life. I think for a lot of people, especially young people, Reed, you probably get this, a lot of your contemporaries, they don't quite think like that, you know. There's a lot of pressure sometimes to seemingly conform to whatever their parents or their school or their university expected of them, and they can end up doing things that they're not that happy in. Do you find that?
Yes, I do find that, you know, when you take those risks and things, you know, there's a reason it's a risk. You may not, be better for it in the end. You will have gained the experience and everything, but you may not be better for it in the end. But, like Mike was saying, in some aspects, that's going to be better than being trapped in a situation that you're not happy, even if outwardly, you know, everything looks more positive.
Okay. Well, look, we better go story time now, because I'm going to tell you about a woman who is very much current to this conversation, because she's a woman who decided that she wanted to do X, but the Lord had another plan for her, which was definitely Y. And that is the wonderful story of Frances Xavier Cabrini. So, gentlemen, let's go story time. Now, I don't need to tell my fellow Americans, my fellow friends in the United States, that the Statue of Liberty overlooks the New York Harbor. It's one of those iconic symbols, right, that the world, across the world, everybody knows what it is. And it's very much identified with the United States. But it's also very much identified with the United States at a particular moment in time. And that is as that nation's new identity was emerging throughout the 19th century. And perhaps more significantly, it's also a sort of a beacon, or perceived as a beacon, one that was glimpsed by so many who were entering that harbor from the decks of crowded immigrant ships as they would disembark onto Ellis Island and other places and go through the various immigration procedures. You see, that statue represented freedom for many coming from Europe, a freedom they hoped for that they had not experienced while living in Europe or the old world as it was known, something they longed for in the new. Now, it may come as a surprise, but there's another statue which now faces the Statue of Liberty. It's a much smaller statue, and it's a statue of St. Francis Xavier Cabrini. Now, St. Francis Xavier, I'll call her Mother Cabrini if it's okay, because that's how she was known. It's a bit like Padre Pio. You get to know these people as Mother Cabrini. But she was declared a saint in 1946. And today she is the patron of immigrants, patron saint of immigrants. And it's fitting that this Italian immigrant, that her statue should stand facing the Statue of Liberty. And that statue was erected in October 2020. You may have missed it. It was a time of the height of the COVID pandemics, lockdowns, and we missed a lot of things. But this little statue of Mother Cabrini was erected in New York City. So who was she? Well, her original name was Maria Francesca Cabrini, and she was born to devout Catholic parents in 1850 at a place called St. Angelo in Lombardy, which today is Italy, but in 1850 was part of the Austro-Hungarian Empire. Now, you remember last week we talked with Edward Habsburgs. Well, Edward Habsburg was part of the Habsburg dynasty, and they ruled the Austro-Hungarian Empire. So it was one of his ancestors who would have ruled over Italy at that time. Now, Maria Francesca was the youngest of 13 children. And when she was born, she was so frail that her parents had her baptized immediately. Now, she was born into a relatively peaceful and stable family home, but it contrasted sharply with the world outside. See, during her childhood, what would become known as Italy today was effectively being born. For the first 20 years of her life, political conflict and violence would rage across the Italian peninsula before eventually a new kingdom would emerge to replace the foreign one then ruling. Italy was finally unified as an independent kingdom in 1870 and finally broke loose from the Habsburg Austro-Hungarian Empire. So the young Maria Francesca grew up in a time of political turmoil. And it was because of that and because of other economic hardships that resulted from it that many were forced to emigrate from Italy to the New World. Many were got on ships that sailed over to New York City to glimpse the Statue of Liberty and to start a new life. Now, from an early age, Maria Francesca had begun to dream of foreign lands. But her dreams were good ones because she dreamed about mission work. You see, a visiting missionary had preached at her local parish on the Catholic missions to China. And after this, the young Maria Francesca was consumed with the desire to join this heroic, and as it seemed to her, romantic effort abroad. So much so that geography became her favorite subject at school. You can just imagine the young woman looking at maps and thinking of China and other exotic places where she could go and be a missionary, where she could bring the truth of the gospel to these foreign lands, to these peoples. But divine providence had other designs. When she had finished her schooling, she did not join the missions. Instead, Maria trained as a teacher. And thereafter, she was to teach for several years at her local village school. Just think about that for a second. This is a young woman who's burning to go to foreign lands to preach the gospel. And instead, God's will appears to be that she is a teacher in her own village. She doesn't go much further than the local schoolhouse. Nonetheless, throughout this time, although her desire to help spread the gospel was thwarted, a sense of a religious vocation persisted. By the time both her parents had died, she had applied for entry to not one but two religious orders. But on both occasions, she was rejected due to her frail health. So she continued to teach. She continued to engage in charitable works of mercy among the local poor. Above all, she wanted to go abroad and to preach the gospel, but she had to wait, so she waited. Finally, a mysterious movement of sorts manifested itself to her. You see, she was asked by both her local parish priest and her local bishop to go to what was called the House of Providence at another part of Italy. Now, this was initially a temporary posting. And remember, at this point, she was 24 years old. But she was to spend 6 years at this house. And what was this house? Well, it was a place for orphans, for children that had lost their parents. And they needed a teacher. They needed somebody to help to teach them there. So she spent 6 years teaching orphans. Now, although this tenure at the House of Providence appeared to be another time of waiting, it was in fact the beginning of her life's mission. Because by 1877, age 27 by then, she had taken vows as a religious. And something else had happened. It was a strange occurrence. It was this. She began to attract other women to the religious life in common that she was practicing. Now, this was still ill-defined. She was not exactly a do-it-yourself religious, but she was sort of on her own. But other people seemed to be attracted, wanting to spend time with her and to also participate in her religious vocation. Now, it was around this time that she added the name Xavier to her Christian names in honor of course, St. Francis Xavier, the great Spanish apostle of the East. St. Francis Xavier was well known as a missionary out in India and other parts of Asia, and is still renowned in those parts today. So the name of Xavier in her name, or added to her name, was an indication of what her desire still was, which was to head to the East, to Asia, and to preach the gospel. It's clear her choice of patron was a statement of intent. At last, it seemed, things were moving. It seemed her wish was to be fulfilled, and she would become a missionary sister in China. Unexpectedly, it was during this time that the local bishop reignited her longings for the missions. Now, as no missionary order would have her, the bishop suggested she start her own missionary order. Now, looked at in purely practical terms, the idea sounded as preposterous as it was unobtainable. Yet the young woman's response was one of faith. And so her few words of reply speak volumes, and I will read out what she said. This is what she said when the bishop said this. I will look for a house. That was it. She heard in her local bishop the voice of the Holy Spirit, and all she wanted to do was obey. So she said, I will look for a house. And so she did. And in 1880, as the orphanage closed that she worked in, she founded the Institute of the Missionary Sisters of the Sacred Heart. And this new community consisted of Maria, now Mother Cabrini, and seven other religious sisters. Now, sometimes we can think of religious sisters in convents in rather romantic terms. that everything is very nice and everything is very well provided for. Certainly a lot of the convents we encounter in the West these days, it seems to be that way. Well, this community's first convent lacked the basic necessities. In fact, this lack of material means was to be a recurring pattern in the life of Mother Cabrini, just as was her recurring trust in Providence. For that Providence, in this case, was to provide. In fact, her trust was so total that inevitably to those watching around her, things would always be righted and the seemingly impossible turned into a reality. You see, she had a simple trust that the means to carry out her mission would be provided. What was missing in material means for the new community was in stark contrast to that which they felt they needed most. You see, the new community in November 1880 may have had no light, no logs for the fire, and nowhere to sleep but upon the hay strewn on bare boards of their convent. But nevertheless, each day Holy Mass was offered in a room that was hastily turned into an oratory. It is clear that this order and its founder, Mother Cabrini, had a clear hierarchy of priorities. Let me quote you something which Mother Cabrini wrote to this community at the very beginning. Pray, pray always, and ask unceasingly for the spirit of prayer. What is the spirit of prayer? It means praying according to the spirit of Jesus, in Jesus and with Jesus. The spirit of prayer means praying in accordance with the divine good pleasure, willing only what God wills. It means that we have our minds fixed on prayer at all times, in all places, working, walking, eating, speaking, suffering, habitually and always. Now, I don't know about you, but it makes it absolutely clear where Mother Cabrini's priorities were. She was not so much a social worker in the traditional sense. She understood her vocation purely as a spiritual one, one that was worked out in practical ways, but that if it didn't have prayer at its center, would be meaningless and wouldn't last. But the order did last. In fact, the new order flourished. Many, many postulants came and joined her, and the community grew quite rapidly. In fact, new houses of the community were opened in different towns right across Italy. And although Mother Cabrini had no money, she seemed to lack nothing. She was never to waver in her faith in divine providence. That's why. Not surprisingly, her new religious congregation was dedicated to the Sacred Heart, and in that heart's promises and care, she never faltered in placing her trust. Mother Cabrini was to write to her sisters as follows. Therefore, work with commitment and do not get discouraged by the difficulties that you will naturally face. When they tell you no, you must continue all the stronger, as if they had said yes. If you keep hitting on the same nail, it will finally go in. The most important thing is that your faith never lessens, but rather becomes stronger through difficulty. That is the way of the saints. If you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you could move mountains. Now, do you remember I said that Mother Cabrini desperately wanted to go to China to evangelize? Well, she was about to head to see Pope Leo XIII, and she was going to ask him about this. And she was full of hope, full of expectation. But the answer she got was very different to that which she expected. But we'll have to do that tomorrow. So for now, Mother Cabrini, Saint Francis Xavier Cabrini, pray for us.
It's been a great show today, Kevin. Who do we have coming up tomorrow?
Well, I'm glad you asked me, Reed. We've got Ron James from the Mutual UFO Network. It's one of those weeks, you know, we're constantly flying around in saucers.
Excellent. I'm excited about it.
Good. I'm glad you are, and I'm glad we're going to be. Now, I shall also hopefully finish the story of Mother Cabrini tomorrow, so you've got to stick around. What's the Pope going to say to her that changes her life? You'll have to tune in tomorrow to find out. Listen, I hope you've enjoyed today. I've certainly enjoyed your company, and if so, let's do it all again at the same time, same frequency, same Turley. So until then, let's keep each other in prayer, and let's commend our whole works, our whole lives to the care and intercession of St. Joseph, whose feast day is coming up next week. So until we meet again, may God bless you and keep you.